You are listening to The Coffee Table. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton, and today we are talking about the borough budget, and which passed last week, and how the assembly may fill the roughly $2.8 million budget gap. And on the line, I have with me Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce. Thanks for joining us, Mayor.
Good morning.
And we also have Assembly President Wayne Ogle. Thanks for joining us on the coffee table.
Good morning.
And lastly, we have Assemblymember Willie Dunn, who represents the South Peninsula District on the Assembly.
Thank you, Aaron, and thanks, KBBI.
All right, great. And for our listeners, if you have questions on the budget or revenue options and tax propositions that the Assembly is considering, I do want to let you know that we have just one line open today since all of our guests are joining us over the phone. You can also email your questions to info@kbbi.org. Again, info@kbbi.org. If you do want to call in, the number is 235-7721. And so why don't we start with the budget itself? The Assembly approved an $81.6 million general fund budget last week, and we have about $78.8 million in revenue. And so does anyone want to go ahead and break down the budget and kind of explain where most of our funding goes?
Well, I'll let the mayor do that, his budget.
All righty, Mayor Pierce, you want to go ahead?
I was going to let you do that, Mr. Ogle, and the president. obviously, I think that most people are aware that two-thirds of our budget currently goes to fund our educational programs here on the peninsula, and the balance of the budget takes care of the general services that are delivered in the borough.
And, you know, I mean, as far as we spend most of our budget on education, and our local match for this year is just a little bit over $50 million. And how much are we spending on general government operations?
Well, I don't have the actual dollars in front of me. I'll run and grab a copy of the budget. I didn't know we were going to get into the weeds this morning with the budget, but the actual numbers, the balance of it, two-thirds, I mean, we're in excess of $80 million. In the borough, spending an $80 million, not counting the service area budgets that are out there that are providing additional services, and I'm going to bring our finance director in here with a copy of the actual budget, so that we can get into the actual dollars. So what we've talked about, Brandy, is the two-thirds of the budget going to schools, and then the balance of it going for other services, and he wanted an exact number, I guess. What's the balance of the for general fund other services?
So general fund other services, the core government is funded by $17,171,708. That's the operational side of it, and that number actually includes the $206,000, all of the economic development money.
Okay, and you know, and then so moving on to this year's budget gap, you know, has been kind of a bit of a moving target. What is the assembly taking a look at trying to fill for this fiscal year?
Want to run with that one, Wayne? Or
well, we're looking at various tax proposals. For sales tax. Most of the sales tax, of course, goes to schools. And the idea basically is to try to shift some of the taxation to the sales tax, whatever form that may take, so that we're not writing a big check from the general fund to the school district every year. And I think that's what the mayor was trying to do with his budget. The original budget had funds coming from the land trust fund. I supported the mayor's budget. It was what I would call the least worst situation because we weren't in a good financial condition. And the mayor, of course, realized that, and he was taking $4.5 million from the land trust fund, had a means to be able to repay that at a later date, And that would be to get us past the FY 19 budget concerns. And then the second part would be to work on getting a tax proposal on the ballot for the voters to vote on that we would all support. In other words, the school district would be out there supporting it, as well as union people and so on and so forth. And that's my hope, is that we can get all of us, assembly members, the school district, all sorts of people, you know, the general public, to support a tax increase. And I think that's possible. We just need to select the right one so everybody can get behind it.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll get to some of the revenue options a bit later. But, you know, as far as the budget gap itself, I mean, everyone knows the state is dealing with its own fiscal woes, and that's trickled down to communities. But, you know, what has led to our specific budget gap? I know last year, former Mayor Mike Navarre was giving a presentation here, and he attributed a lot of the budget gap to a seasonal exemption on non-prepared foods, which came in 2009. That led to a $3 million drop in revenue. And then in 2015, he said the borough was hit with about a $1 million drop in revenue for some increased exemptions for property owners. And then the property tax rate itself has been cut since 2000. But are there other factors that have led to the budget gap? Is a lot of it attributed to the state and its fiscal issues?
I think the mayor also pointed toward senior exemptions as being he thought were having an impact on it.
There was an additional allocation of $4 million that was given to the school district in 2015. That additional funding that was provided through the borough that has caused some of the revenue challenges that we're facing as well.
This is Willie. We've been addressing some deficit spending here for a few years, and in the 2018 budget, the former mayor had proposed to increase the mill rate from 4.5 to 5. I did support that, but that failed, and as a result, we were facing last year a potentially $4 million deficit. Didn't quite turn out that large, and all those things you mentioned, Aaron, and that others have mentioned were responsible for the the decreases in revenue to the borough. And of course, our expenses continue to increase through healthcare costs, salary costs, just general inflation. Things are getting more and more expensive. So you know, we're looking at narrowing that gap. Another thing that happened in last year's budgeting process, the mill rate increase was declined by the assembly based on hopes that some tax changes would come at the ballot. Of course, those both failed. We had a proposal to increase the sales tax cap from $500 to $1,000. That failed. And there was a proposal to modify the senior exemption program. Existing seniors would not have lost their exemption, but would have been phased down to a lower exemption in the future. But that also failed. So, you know, this year we did increase the mill rate slightly from 4.5 to 4.7, but we still need to look at some other options for closing that gap and reduce our or eliminate the deficit spending.
Yeah, and there have been varied, varied attempts since the borough has been struggling with this. And Pierce, you know, I want to turn to you. You know, as far as when you ran last year, ran on kind of a platform of no new taxes and cutting the budget, and you know, and you said you were going to go sit down with department directors and kind of go down, you know, every piece line by line. And you know, there were some cuts in this budget. Where were some of those cuts coming from? And was there less fat in the budget than you had originally thought?
Well, it is a challenge to cut the budget without cutting services as well. So our administration in the last 8 months have lowered the general fund budget by 5.3%. If you recall, we were deficit spending at the tune of 4.5 million, proposed 4.5 million, and to date it's 2.729 million. And so there has been some significant adjustments and a variety of things. We've cut all the travel, most of the travel. We went nowhere last year. The last 8 months, most of the folks that have traveled because they were required to keep some certain certificate in order to do their jobs or perform their duties. And so we've limited that. We've looked at we had a number of positions that were vacated and not filled. We did some consolidation in the way of mergers. We added a 2.25 administrative fee to the service areas. They're making a contribution. Total service area wide is in excess of $600,000 this year, and this next year, this next fiscal year. And I did run on the premise of a no new taxes, and I think the way that we were able to do that was obviously looking at the land trust fund, and there's funds that have been in there for a number of years, and they have, in my opinion, been ignored. They've been there. They're not invested very aggressively. It's a revolving account. It basically pays the salaries and benefits of five individuals, and it's a revolving account. We were utilizing that to fill the gap, if you will, and then in hopes of filling that gap, balancing the 2019 budget, and moving forward, looking at a way to raise enough revenue that continues to prevent future deficit spending. And our plan was to add 2 cents to the tax base or sales tax base, make it go from 3 to 5, and that a measure right there by itself raised $52 million. Essentially took care of the obligation that we have to fund our schools, and then it would have shifted or allowed for some cost savings on the property tax side or in the general fund side of the budget. And the real angst in the room was the land trust fund. Of course, the message on the street from many of the folks was, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Essentially what you're doing, you're paying your bills, and you're right. We've discovered that it's difficult to cut additional cuts without cutting services, and so that's kind of where we're at. We're right at $2.7 million in deficit spend proposed for the 19 year. If you look at the last six budget cycles, five out of six, we've deficit spent right at about $3 million a year. And when you look at the actions that were recently taken by the Assembly, they put another $800,000 back into the budget while we're deficit spending. And so it continues to create the challenges that we're faced with. We have negotiations coming up in the fall. School district is currently doing their negotiations with their labor groups, and we'll have some salary evaluations with the non-exempt employees. And as Willie has said, there's inflationary measures. Just those measures alone are challenging to stay ahead of. So without a new tax base, and so that's where we're at.
And as far as the land trust fund. Assemblymember Dunn, I want to ask you. Ogla said he supported that, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head where you'd landed on that proposal yourself.
I voted against taking money from the land trust fund. I didn't think it was smart to spend down our savings. There's a potential for using that sort of as an endowment. And if that fund grows, which I believe it will, and the mayor has some plans to help that fund grow, I think that could, solve some of our budget problems by using the endowment model with that money. So I just didn't think it was smart to spend down our savings. So I did oppose that. And, you know, it, this whole budget picture, it's fairly complicated, but spending down our savings, I don't think it's sustainable or responsible.
Okay.
So, can I respond to that?
Yep, go ahead.
I think continuing to spend at the rate that we're spending is not sustainable either. And I think without aggressively going, you have to have some revenue on the other side of the picture. And I think that if you watch the last 10 years, anything that's gone to the ballot box in the way of a new taxation has failed. And we would anticipate that trend to continue. And so the real challenge has been placed in the hands of the leadership of this borough to balance their spending along with the revenue that they have. And certainly you can attribute most of our or a lot of the deficit spend to the monies or the revenues that we've lost through the initiative process. But nevertheless, it is money lost. And if you continue to go to the ballot box and ask for additional revenue, we predict that it'll fail. So the real option for us is the nine assembly members that are there, five of the nine, need to agree on some form of taxation that does not require the vote of the constituency in this borough. And again, I think that there's some in the community that would say, you know, tax me more. A broad-based tax, a sales tax, was probably what I heard as being one of the most favorable from those that wish to pay more. And then there are the other side of the group. There's a group out there that would just say, you know, you're spending more than you're bringing in, and maybe you should rein in some of your spending. We had an opportunity in this last budget to save $800,000, and the assembly chose to spend $800,000 more. It would have brought us that much closer. It would have been $2 million, less than $2 million in deficit spend. So in 8 months, we would have been roughly 50% closer to balancing that budget, which is a commendable effort, I believe, on the parts of the staff here at the borough, the administration, and the assembly.
And go ahead.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is Wayne Ogle. I supported using the land trust fund. I thought it was as I mentioned before, it was a least worst scenario. The worst being, I think, spending down the fund balance. That has effect on the markets as far as being able to, the borough being able to borrow if we need to borrow for general obligation bonds. And, oh, by the way, we do have a measure that will go on the ballot, which is asking for general obligation bonds. So if we spend down our fund balance, that will make that more expensive. So I thought it was a least worst, and the mayor had a plan or has a plan to revitalize the land trust fund. So I thought it was I agree with Willie, it's not sustainable, but it was a one-time type of thing. But anyway, that's a water over the dam. It's over and done with, and we now need to move forward. But that was how I saw it.
Well, there is Assembly Member Carpenter is putting an ordinance up for an introduction at the next meeting that would revisit the land trust fund, not at the amount Pierce had requested, but it would be a $1.75 million from the fund. And in Pierce, I mean, is that something that you think with the assembly should move forward with? It's not the total amount you had requested, but it's still seems to be a good chunk.
Sure, it would bring us that much closer to being in a balanced position. So I think it would be money well spent.
And I just want to remind our listeners, if you have a question for Mayor Pierce or Assembly President Wayne Ogle or Assembly Member Willie Dunn, on the budget or revenue options and potential tax ballot propositions, you can call 235-7721, although we only have one line open. You can also email your questions to info@kbbi.org. And, you know, Assembly President Ogle had mentioned Mayor Pierce's plan to pay back the land trust fund. Pierce, could you explain what that plan entails?
Sure. You know, in our original plan, there was I mentioned 2 cents on the 3 cents current 3 cents sales tax that we pay. I mentioned it would raise in excess of $50 million and help us pay for our educational obligation. And then on the other side of the balance sheet, what it would do is it would free up some capital for that's currently being collected in the way of property taxes. And what our proposal, the original proposal, was to lower your mill rate from 4.5 mills to 3.25 mills, giving each property owner significant savings there. And so what we did, and coming back to the consideration of the land trust fund, there were those that said, well, you have no means to pay it back. So what we did is we lowered for 2 years, we lowered that savings, that 3.25, we left it at a 4. You still got a 0.50 reduction in your property tax, and then in the third year, you could roll that mill rate to 3.25, perhaps after evaluating what would be going on in that current year. But so our methodology was to pay it back over 2 years, and we were going to do that just by reducing the amount of credits we were going to give to the property tax owner.
Okay.
I think the other part of it was basically to lower property tax and also increase the sales portion of it, which all goes to the school. So it would be a little bit more balance between the two, and the borough would write a little bit lesser check to the school district.
Right. And Pierce, you had talked about that plan here at a Homer Chamber of Commerce luncheon, and you referred to it as your 4 and 4 plan. And how much more money per year? I think you mentioned the figure maybe a couple times, but how much more per year would that bring in?
The 4 and 4 plan, do you recall what the dollars were that we were bringing in? We're looking at it. We're looking for it. Hang on just a moment.
Well, I do not have the figure off the top of my head. The sales tax with the 4% sales tax would bring in approximately $10 million more there. Right. And with the property tax savings, we'd be going from 4.5 down to 3.25. And we could pull those figures for you,
sir. We don't have the actual numbers in front of us.
Okay.
Of course, folks need to keep in mind that you know, any increase in sales tax would have to go to the voters and you know, as the mayor said, that those have consistently failed, and I'm
right.
That was a concern. Predict along with the mayor that
we felt like
fail.
we were.
If we could let assembly member
option, because we were offering the property tax owners a net savings on the right side of the model, and on the left side of the model, of course, it was a broad based tax that we would pick up additional revenue from the seasonal influx of tourism that we see here on the peninsula. And again, it was it's a broad-based tax. Everybody participates. It's not a targeted tax to any one specific user group. And again, it was in the discussions I've had publicly, I think it was probably one of the more favorable options that was on the street. You're right, Willie. We were concerned about that also failing at the ballot box, and certainly had a potential to do that, but we felt like having that right side of the model, having that credit back to the property tax owners, it was also very sellable as well.
And Dunn, I'd like to you were starting to respond there. If you want to finish.
Well, sure. You know, when we consider these changes in our revenue streams here, the increase in sales tax, you know, would tax people an additional $10 to $20 million, depending on if it's whether it's 4% or 5% from the existing 3%. However, you know, we talked about trying a very modest 0.5% increase, and that failed to even pass the assembly to go to the polls. So, increasing sales taxes, I think, is going to be a very hard sell, even with the promise of reducing property taxes. also need to remember that our property taxes, 50% of our property taxes are paid by non-residents and oil and gas properties, and we currently get about $7 million a year property tax from oil and gas properties, and by reducing the mill rate, if it were reduced down to 3, we'd be giving $1.5 million back to the state at a time when the state has cut our funding and we've reduced state funding, and we'd be giving even more back to the state. So it's not as black and white as it looks on first blush, and needs to be looked at very closely. And you know, sometimes it appears as if it's a shell game, you know, moving the taxes around from one class of taxpayers to another. So I think right now we have a fairly decent balance. We just need to we have reduced the deficit from over $4 million to 2.7, and I think we can go further with some of the other revenue proposals that are on the table right now.
And you know, and as far as some of those these, at least not a revenue option, but we're talking about the upcoming $1.75 million option to pull from the land trust fund, that'll be up for introduction next meeting. And Dunn, you said that you were against the previous proposal, which would have drawn $4.5 million from that fund. Is 1.75 something you could stomach on something like that, or do you think we should be looking elsewhere besides the land trust fund altogether?
Well, I'll have to look at it. You know, it is a little bit more palatable than the $4.5 million proposal, but I still have a problem with taking a special use fund. It actually is dedicated for certain uses. We'd have to make an exemption to those rules that dedicate the land trust fund to certain uses, and change those rules to move that fund, those savings into the general fund. So I'm going to wait and hear public comment and assembly discussion before I commit one way or the other. But it is a little more palatable, but I'm still leaning against it. So I'm sure you'll be bringing this up soon, Aaron. But you know, there are several proposals on the table for increasing revenues, and some of those I support.
Yeah, we will be getting to some of those options in just a bit. And again, I want to remind listeners, if you do have a question, you can call 235-7721. You can always email us at info@kbbi.org. That will likely get your question through a little bit easier as we have all our guests on the line today. And, you know, I posed this question to Pierce earlier, but I wanted to ask the assembly members, as far as, you know, at every assembly meeting you hear from a fairly vocal contingency, and some of them are frequent guests at the mic, but, you know, they're asking for budget cuts. You know, and from an assembly perspective, is there more that can be cut from the budget?
Well, I would say that it's going to be very difficult. As the mayor said earlier, it's going to be difficult to cut the budget without cutting services. We have some pretty basic services we provide to the residents of the borough as far as solid waste, our landfills. Education is a huge one. I think that's one of the most important investments we make in educating our children and providing a good school system for our kids. So in borough roads, and our hospitals, we have some very basic services that it's going to be difficult to cut any more from the budget without affecting those services negatively. So I think we're at a fairly good balance right now between providing services and providing low cost or relatively low taxes to the residents. You know, Alaska is the lowest tax nation or lowest tax state in the entire nation, and it's difficult to pay, you know, taxes, but it's part of our responsibility to provide schools, roads, hospitals to the residents.
And
I think that that it's very important that the administration, and I think they are to a large extent, is asking the question, is this a legitimate function of government? Is this what we should be doing? I like the idea of looking as people leave, retire, or move on to other jobs. Is the job that they're leaving an essential one? Can it be combined with something else? I think we need to get I think that in negotiations with our unions, I think we have to make sure it's very clear that there's only so much funds in the cupboard. Our private sector people are under a lot of challenge, and they don't get automatic increases every time you know, the new year rolls around. So I think that needs to be pressed. That doesn't mean we don't like union people or anything like that. It just means that the private sector is under challenge, and the public sector needs to also be responsive to that. One of the most difficult questions for me every year is what size check do we write to the school district? And that's a very difficult one. The school board is the one that gets into the fine details as to programs and how schools function and everything else. The assembly does not and should not. They're elected. The school board's elected to do that job. Our job is to write the check, and a lot of times it's very difficult to know where that line should be drawn.
Yeah, and so this year the assembly approved just a little bit over $50 million for the local contribution, and there was a roughly about a $600,000, if I remember correctly, about a $600,000 increase at last meeting from what the assembly had initially looked at. You know, is that something that's Assembly Member Ogle, is that something that's sustainable in your eyes, or do you think?
No. I did not support the additional $600,000, and not that I have anything against the school district, but I thought that the level before that was not the best, but I thought it was in context with our budget, the borough's budget concerns. I thought that was a balance that the school district could live with, as well as the borough. So I thought adding $600,000 was excessive, and it really did not help our budget situation.
And Assembly Member Dunn, I do believe you were in support of that increase.
Yes, I did vote for that, and it was not to the cap. I would have supported funding to the cap because I think that schools are just one of the most critical things we do. You know, the education of our children is paramount. It doesn't mean that, you know, extra dollars necessarily is always what's needed. There's certainly some changes that can come, but as Mr. Ogle said, that you know, that comes from the school board and the administration. Our job is just to provide adequate funding for them to do their job, to educate kids the best we can. So I did support that increase, and actually would have supported a slightly larger increase. The schools did get a slight one-time increase in funding from the state, which helped also. So I think it was good that we could adequately fund schools this year. Whether or not that's sustainable is a question for future. We have you know, a number of options to look at on how to see if we can continue that funding in the future.
Okay, and we did have a question come in via email, and I do want to remind listeners, if you could please attach your name to the your question, that would be helpful. And the question is, price per barrel of oil is up slightly over the last year, and additional revenue from other sources of revenue is also projected to increase. Is the borough in better shape than we were a year ago? Whoever wants to take that, Mayor Pierce, if you...
I'd be happy to, yeah. I would say no. You know, the state is in a, they're trying to figure out what their fiscal house is going to look like, too. They've made some obligations to a number of industry folks out there, and they're getting ready to go out and borrow millions of dollars to go pay back some of the obligations they made to incentivize the exploration and development of oil and gas in Alaska, and some of that money was actually obligated right down here on the peninsula. There's some folks that went out and borrowed money, came to Alaska and invested that money, and the state didn't pay the bill. And so I think the state is, it's questionable as to whether the funding levels that they've provided for every educational will be consistent in the years to come, even with the increase in the price per barrel. We need to get our house in order at the state level. They've taken 50% of our permanent fund dividend today to pay the bills. And so I don't know. I'm not overly optimistic that they're going to be able to wave this wand in one session or maybe two or maybe three sessions to get the get things balanced. We have, in my opinion, a certain amount of, a considerable amount of uncertainty in the state and the direction that we're going, and I think it calls for us to be conservative in our spending decisions. And, you know, you talk about the, Mr. Dunn had mentioned, and I think Mr. Ogle mentioned as well, the state provided some one-time funding, some additional one, I believe it was $1.4 million. We started our conversations with the school district back in January, and we've had a number of very candid conversations in regards to what they believe they could do in the way of delivering a decent education in a time of a recession. And I think that early on, this administration noticed the school district in regards to flat funding. And all the discussions we had with the administration was, well, flat funding is what we'll plan for. We'll plan for that, plan accordingly. And they were planning for flat funding from the state as well. And so there was a considerable amount of planning on their part that went into the discussion in the room. And I think that, you know, I've been around this state for 40-plus years, and I've never seen a school district board come before the assembly and ever ask for less than to the cap funding. Cap funding is wonderful when you're making enough revenue to do it. But when you're in a recession, I said it when I ran, I don't believe that you can fully fund schools to the cap when you're deficit spending. And I'll say it again, I don't believe we can. And I don't believe it was responsible to put another $650,000 in the budget when you're deficit spending. Because what it does is it incentivizes new taxation, and it requires new taxation to get ourselves out of the hole here.
And real quickly, we have just about 19 minutes left, and I do want to get on to some of the revenue options on the table. But Pierce, you know, as far you'd suggested flat funding, and the district had consistently said, as far as flat funding goes, that they would have to eliminate 11.5 teaching positions. Do you think that's sustainable for the district as far as continuing to deal with increasing costs while taking flat funding and having to deal with some of those cuts?
You know, I offered up an additional $1.5 million. This was early on before the state offered an additional $1.4 million. I offered up $1.5 from the land trust fund and then put a plan together to pay it back. So I, too, believe that it's important that students that become very, very familiar with their teachers don't lose their teachers. And so I don't support the waving of the pink slips early. I get it. I understand it. It's a very, very difficult decision for me to sit here and say that we don't have enough. But it is a decision that I come to based on the numbers that are presented to us on a regular basis, and we don't have enough. We're not bringing in enough right now. So I might add
that the former mayor, Mayor Navarre, also proposed budgets that did not go to fund to the cap. So it's not like the present mayor is, not funding the cap either. So it's not something that is automatic, this mayor or the former mayor.
Yeah. And, while we have just about 17 minutes left, I do want to get on to the revenue options on the table. And, you know, and it's come up several times throughout this discussion. There's been frustration both on the assembly and within the borough administration as far as putting stock in ballot propositions and hoping that they will end up funding underfunded budgets. And that leaves the borough to cover the gap. And, you know, there have been several ideas thrown around to help mitigate that. But does the assembly need to – the assembly has been talking about looking at revenue measures, and Pierce has suggested them as well. that they have direct control over rather than relying on voters. Is that something that the Assembly needs to look at as far as revenue?
Well, I believe that any increases in taxes should go to the voters. I know there's a proposal to allow the Assembly to increase the cap on sales tax without voter approval, and that's an interesting idea that deserves consideration. And then there are excise taxes that do not need to go to the voters, and the mayor has recently proposed an excise tax on cigarettes, and we haven't seen the details of that yet, but we'll be looking at that at our next meeting and next couple of meetings. So I do believe the voters have spoken very, very clearly about their interest and desire to have some say in tax increases, and I would like to support the voters on that end.
Assembly President Ogle, you had started to speak. If you want to go ahead.
Well, I really don't have anything more to add to that. I think that we have a couple more tax proposals that that we can consider. I haven't given up on, the voters approving a tax increase. We do it. The voters approve roofs on schools and that type of thing without building maintenance and landfill questions and all that. The voters just need to have a sense that we've, number one, wrung all the inefficiencies out of government, and number two, once that's been done, that we're just not wallpapering over inefficient spending. I believe that if the case is made, a broad-based case is made through everybody, the Assembly as well as the administration and the schools and all that, I think the voters could favorably go for a tax increase, knowing that it is for a good cause and that the administration has done their part. So I haven't given up on that part yet.
And Mayor Pierce, you had previously also taken the stance of that any tax increase should go before the voters. But at the last meeting, you suggested what's known as a sin tax, an excise tax on cigarettes, alcohol, and tobacco. Have you changed course on that? Do you think that's something the Assembly should be looking at, is what it has control over rather than relying on voters?
I'll answer your question in just a moment. Let me back up just a little bit with your 4 and 4 question. The 4 and 4 plan was a plan that my administration put together, and it would have raised roughly $6 million additional dollars for the borough. It would have lowered the mill rate from 4.5 to 4, and then it would have raised sales tax to 4 cents on the dollar, and it would have raised $6 million. And so that option, it's certainly an option that I would try to sell if the Assembly would support it. An additional idea that came through the discussion phases over the last 2 months, I'll say that this administration has been very, very busy providing various what-if options to the Assembly, and we've done a lot of the fiscal noting. The Finance Department's been very, very kind and done a very thorough job of providing good numbers in relationship to the monies that would be generated with the various options, and some sounded better than others. We trying to get the sales tax option as well as maybe a reduction on the property tax option approved by the Assembly has been difficult. It's poised some challenges, and it hasn't passed to date. So the administration during the last meeting proposed an excise tax on tobacco products that generates, $4.5 million, $5 million, with a dollar on cigarettes, $2 million on 50 cents, something like that, on a cigarette. Is that correct?
So what's being proposed is possibly a 5 cents per cigarette tax and then 10% on other tobacco products. That would bring the borough approximately $3.5 million annually.
So we need 5. There's 3.5 of it. If the Assembly approves it, There's a bed tax proposal that's also being offered that generates what?
With the current bed tax proposal of 12% borough-wide, it would bring the borough approximately $3.1 million annually.
And also, I would like to add on that bed tax, it also would relieve the lodging industry from the general sales tax, correct, under the current proposal?
That's correct.
And the Assembly has already looked at a 0.5% sales tax increase, which it ended up declining to approve and sending to the ballot. But the Assembly did increase the mill rate by 0.2 mills at the last meeting. As far as if we kind of want to go around, around the theoretical table here, Pierce, I mean, what direction do you think the Assembly should be going as far as the revenue options on the table?
Well, I want to say that the voice on the street is you can talk to anybody. We've had a number of meetings with the cities, city officials, councils, mayors, managers of cities, and we've talked with the public at large, and there's been a number of folks that have come and actually testified and written letters to us. And you know, every option that's been out there, there's a group that will come before you and argue against it. So it's very difficult to come to an agreement with the variety of ideas that are out there and the thought processes that are out there. But in general, folks are generally saying, don't do it to me, go and tax someone else. So at the end of the day, the elected officials need to make a decision, and I think that's where we're at today, is we have a revenue gap, and we're going to continue as under my administration to look for cost savings. We will be very aggressive about that, but at the same time, there will be a void, and we have to fill that void. And so this administration has brought before, or will bring before the Assembly, as Brandy just mentioned, is a tobacco products tax that will raise $3 million of it. We're still going to need some additional revenue. We need about five. If the five would allow you to remember, if you raise $4 million and you run along at $4 million, you still have inflationary measures that are going to take effect, and it leaves you in a position where you're flat funding schools for a very, very long time. And so to get yourself out of the flat fund situation and give yourself some breathing room, if you will, you're going to need $5 million going forward every year. The option that we've presented is a excise tax. It will guarantee you some revenue because it will not require going to the ballot box with it. It's an excise tax. It was pointed out that referring to it as a sin tax is it's insensitive to those that are perhaps partaking in the use of tobacco, and so it truly is an excise tax, and we want to be sensitive and respectful for those that are out there. But it's also a tax that you can choose to partake in or not partake in, so it's voluntary. You can choose to buy tobacco products, or you can choose not to buy tobacco products, and that's where we're at this point.
Okay, and we have just about 7 minutes left, and Assembly President Ogle, if you want to go ahead and what do you see as the path forward here for revenue?
Well, one of the difficulties I had with the 3.0 to 3.5 was the fact that it did not bring in enough revenue, as the mayor said, over a period of time. It may have solved the problem for next year, but we would be back dealing with continuing deficits. And when you go to the voters, they expect us to have our act together and fix the problem and don't bother them again about it. And I think that we would, if we were to pass the 3 to 3.5, I think we would have to be doing it again in another year or so. So as the mayor points out, we need to have look at further budget needs in the future. and fix it so that going forward we won't have to deal with it again. The bed tax is 3.5 million annually. That is something that I think should be looked at. The excise tobacco tax is another one I would certainly look at. The only problem I would have with that or concern is that the consumers are pretty bright people. They act in what they perceive to be their best interest. And if the tax goes up here, they may be looking at another source of purchasing their cigarettes other places. So we have to make sure we're not driving it to another location to get their products and our revenue decreasing because of that. So I would seriously look at the excise tax on tobacco as a possibility. And also the bed tax is something that we certainly put to the voters for them to decide.
And Assemblymember Willie Dunn.
Sure. Well, we've got, three measures on the table right now, and the mayor has told us, we need to increase taxes by $5 million to have a sustainable budget. The bed tax has been reintroduced. The 6% bed tax failed to pass the assembly, but the current measure actually would be in lieu of sales tax, so it addresses some of the current concerns we heard from individuals and cities. And there's also a proposal on the table to increase the taxes on non-prepared food. Currently, those are taxed just during the summer months, 3 months a year, and the proposal is to increase that to 6 months per year. I am opposed to that. In fact, I'm opposed to sales tax on food in general. I think that sales taxes are regressive. They impact our lowest income residents the most, and we shouldn't be taxing food at all. So I'll oppose increasing from 3 months to 6 months on food tax. The cigarette tax, tobacco tax, excise tax, I think is worth some serious consideration, and I'm looking forward to hearing details on that. It's on our agenda as a potential laydown next week, but we, as I said, we have no details on it yet, so I'll be looking forward to getting details. And, the mayor is right. The assembly does need to come to agreement on how we're going to have sustainable funding for the borough, and that will require some compromise. We compromised at our last meeting on increasing the mill rate to 4.7. There was a proposal to increase it to 5.1, which failed, but then the 4.7 number passed the assembly, so I thought that was acceptable, and we'll keep plugging away at it, keep working at it, and see what we can do to have a sustainable budget and provide services to our residents here.
All right, and then
I agree with Willie Dunn about the non-prepared food taxes. I'm willing to leave it the way it is right now. Fundamentally, I don't like taxes on food. I've lived in areas where there's the highest taxes in everything you do. They don't tax food, and I think that's the correct way to go. But I will not touch the non-prepared food as it is right now.
Okay, and pretty much all the time we have, and I want to thank my guests for joining us. We had Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce, Assembly President Wayne Ogle, and Assembly Member Willie Dunn. Thank you guys for joining us. And the Borough Assembly meeting will be next Tuesday, correct?
That's correct.
All righty. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. And that was The Coffee Table. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer.